first of tonight's speakers, Veronica.
Hello, hello everyone, my name is Veronica, I'm an addict. I just want to run away. My hands are sweaty. Feel really stressed. My heart is beating fast. To be honest with you, I just feel like I had a crack pipe. Something like that. But I did not. Not today, not yesterday, not for the last 14 months. Wow, a lot of people in here, and this is really, really frightening. I'm scared to look somewhere. I don't know where to look. The microphone, keyrings, I'm not so sure. Just manic. It was the last minute, which I guess is good, because I did not have some sleepless night about that to think, and what shall I say? Will I be the funniest? Will I be this? Will I be that? You know what? I just got a message, and this is what it is, and yeah, I came into the rooms, well, throughout the treatment center last April, and I don't know, it was the place in the countryside. They suggested to do the meetings, and I was detoxing, and somebody told me just watch the meetings out, do 1990, and just all these things people saying, and I couldn't really understand them, because I think when I was in primary, I still was in denial. I was trying very hard to convince myself, that I'm not an addict, I'm not as bad as you are, but I was, and I don't know. My childhood, I can say briefly about that. My family been split in two parts, which is my older sister and my mom, and me and my dad. So even when we used to go on holiday, it used to be me and my dad, and my mom with her sister doing different things. So, I don't know, I don't really know my mom. She's a very cold woman, and we don't have this connection as a mother and daughter. And when my dad drowned when I was 16, I left my family home. I moved in with older boyfriend back home. And he was a drug dealer. He wasn't using himself, but I was using. It started with ecstasy pill, which was amazing. I loved it. And carry on drinking and using. And when I came to Cambridge when I was 18 to study, I think my student life carried on for far too long, or my denial was really long. I picked up a lot of substances, class A, heroin, crack cocaine, managed to get married and have a daughter. Even this couldn't stop me using. Was living a life of, I was lying. My husband, he didn't really know what I was doing. Was leaving my daughter home alone to score. Sometimes takes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, sometimes an hour, 2 hours, and ended up in methadone script, and I've been honest with him. I tried to explain what is it all about. I done detox 5 once, second time, nothing worked. Started taking Zopiclone, Valium, and it was just a chaos. And one day, I remember, I was partying quite a lot in London. I used to always steal his cars. He had quite fast cars, and I had adrenaline rush from that. So one day, I just stole his car, didn't come back to Cambridge. And when I did, my daughter's room was empty. Basically, he was gone, and she was gone. And looking back at it, this was 4 years ago. How I felt then? Felt relieved. I didn't have to lie anymore. Don't have to lie to him, to my daughter. And yeah, and I was using. It was for me like a freedom to use. In these 2 years, it was awful. I hit my rock bottom in everything. Basically, I would say the biggest one, it was an emotional one. because I wasn't really living. I was like surviving, living in this huge six-bedroom house, all dark. Drug dealers come there, pipe there. It was chaotic. And a few things happened, and somebody suggested to go into a treatment center, which I did. And first 4 or 5 weeks, I couldn't sleep. Detox was awful. And I didn't know what to say. I said, talk about your feelings, how you feel. And I don't know, we don't talk really about the feelings. I never did. And to begin with, I always had sunglasses. I had a big scarf, and I sat in a group full of people, about 20 of us. And I was just silent. It was scary. And only after, in the end, I started to open up, to say, I feel low, I feel this, I feel that. And we suggested to go into secondary, because it took me quite a long time to talk. And it was a little bit of, I think, my accent. I have quite big complex about that. It's very strong Russian accent. And when I just came to Cambridge, it was just some people who used to make jokes. And I don't know, it just stuck with me. Still now, I think while I'm talking, I hate the sound of my voice. If I speak Russian, it's differently. But if I speak Russian, nobody can understand. So I've got to speak English, hello. Oh, God. So I went into London, into treatment center. Females only, bunk. That was scary. 20 girls and me. Oh, my God. I wanted to run away. And I went to a meeting. Remember Frank? He's the one only who approached me after the meeting. It was last July. I sat in the meeting. It was Tuesday night. I said, hello, my name is Veronica. I'm an addict. I just came into the treatment. And you know what? I hate every girl. Do not approach me. I hate you all. My room there, simply us. I said, I came here alone. I'm leaving here alone. After the meeting, Frank, he approached me, he gave me a hug, he goes, you're gonna be all right. You're gonna be all right, keep talking, keep sharing, express your feelings. I came back into the house and, nobody spoke to me. What I wanted, I guess. And after with time, I started to develop this friendship with girls, which, you know what, I never had. Even to do things like go out shopping or go to the gym. I never had it being a teenager. And in treatment center, I learned how to do that. So while being where I had a bumpy ride, pretty bumpy ride, because I made a decision to stay in London. Why? Simple as, because I had nowhere else to go. And I had a few things to face. Us, few operations, and they supported me throughout treatment center and people in the rooms. And while I was coming to the end of the treatment center, it's been suggested to get a sponsor and to start working the steps. So what I did, hard to communicate with him because it's again another woman being honest, but I'm getting there. And while I was, I think I had 2 or 3 weeks left in treatment center, and you know what, I had nowhere to go because just couldn't get into the dry house or move on house. And I don't know, I thought, I'll leave it. It was 21st of January and I will go to Soho. I'll get a job or something, you know, which kind of job it will be, basically. And I will use and I will have overdose and I die. That was my plan. I was planning, I think, a relapse. But somebody came up to me, that was Remy. She goes to me, here you go, what's my flat case? And you're gonna be all right. And you know what, that girl, she believed in me. I didn't believe in myself. It was hard. I had big operation coming over. And somebody done that to me and helped me to realize what it is possible, as we say, just for today. I couldn't understand before. What do you mean just for today? What else about the plans? What about the future? I say, no, keep it simple. Just for today. What do I do now? I wake up in the morning, I have my breakfast, I read just for today, I speak to a few people, I go to meetings, connecting with my sponsor, trying to share service. I just got a commitment not long ago, and we say service keeps you clean, and just basically doing the things which have been suggested. And I haven't seen my daughter for 4 years, and recently I just came back from France. I seen her, and I was very available for her emotionally, and I'm looking forward to end of the July when I will go again and see her. So yeah, now I understand what recovery it comes first, and all the rest can't wait. And yeah, just for today. I feel, I feel like grateful to Anne. Even before, we say, how would you describe Anne? Now I would describe it as fascinating. Before I would describe it, it's just unbelievable. You used, you done this, you done that. You come in this place and people give you a hug. There is nowhere else in the world you can do that. So only in Anne, and Anne did show me the love. And it's the way forward, I guess. So yeah, I feel really grateful being here, and I leave it there.
Thank you.